At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Here is Adam Burke.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Monday, May 22nd edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. I'm your host, Adam Burke. Happy to be with you as we kick off another week's worth of shows here on the podcast. Head over to wherever you get your podcast content. Rate, review, subscribe. Five-star reviews, very much appreciated for this show and all of our VSiN podcasts here in the family. We got our Hardwood Handicappers podcast, hockey betting podcast for the NBA and NHL respectively, GM Shuffle, basically under the VSiN umbrella with host Femi Abefefe and Michael Lombardi. We've got First Strike, we've got Long Shots, we've got Apple Bombs podcasts. We got a ton of great stuff for you to check out with our VSiN family of podcasts and great stuff over at VSiN.com for you to look at as well. Not that far away from our NFL betting guide, our college football betting guide. Those will come out here over the summer. So lots and lots, very busy time. Even though it may seem like it's a slow time in the sports world, not for us, because we're gearing up for football season right here at VSiN. And check out our subscription options when you head over there and check out what the site is all about. All right, so it is Monday. That means I will be doing a Sabermetric stat of the day. And I'll actually do two of them here today. XWOBA and XERA will be today's two Sabermetric stats. Then I'll dig into the 12-game card that we've got here for Monday. Some interesting games, some interesting matchups. Couple of plays made the cut for me, so I'll share those a little bit later on in the show. But before I get to today's Sabermetric stats of the day, let's talk a little bit about offense and the fact that offense up a little bit over the past week. For the full season in Major League Baseball, .248 average, .320 on base, .407 slugging, a .318 weighted on base average, 22.7% strikeout rate, 8.7% walk rate, .297 batting average on balls in play, 12.2% home run per fly ball percentage. Over the last seven days, though, May 15th to the 21st, .251 average, so that's up 3 points. On base percentage stays the same at .320. Slugging percentage does go up 10 points. WOBA up 3 points to .321. Strikeout percentage up 0.2% last week, 22.9. Walk rate down 0.1%, 8.6. Batting average on balls in play up 4 points last week, .301. Home run to fly ball percentage up 0.5%, 12.7%. So the big thing from last week, a little bit of an increase here in slugging percentage. So a couple of possible causes, right? The first would be weather. You know, it's getting a little bit warmer in a lot of places. The second would be the quality of pitchers. We still have a ton of injuries out there. A lot of starters, a lot of relievers dealing with various things, dealing with various ailments. Now you've got, you know, a team like the Dodgers with Dustin May and Julio Urias, both now on the injured list, along with Walker Buehler, who's out until probably September with Tommy John surgery. So we're still seeing that injury attrition for pitchers, but I think it's largely just the fact that it's getting a little bit warmer out there. A lot of games now, temperatures in the 70s and the 80s, as opposed to the 50s and 60s, and the ball does carry a lot better in the warmer weather. Also last week, the league-wide hard hit percentage, 40.6%. It's 39.3% for the season. So an increase of 1.3% in hard hit percentage, that's where I think you see the lesser caliber pitchers kind of coming into play a little bit with the hard hit contact. Now, when you get harder hit contact and warmer weather, the ball is going to carry. So I would think that the offensive baseline may go up a little bit here for the next couple of weeks, just simply because we will be seeing warmer weather. We still have a lot of pitcher injuries. Some pitchers will come back. Some more guys will hit the IL. We'll have to see how that kind of goes, because injuries, while predictable in the sense that guys that get injured are more likely to get injured again, injuries are still pretty unpredictable when you talk about kind of looking at some of the guys who haven't been hurt hitting the IL. But, you know, I don't want to say I've been validated, because that's not what I ever want. I don't want to see anybody get injured and, you know, kind of have their livelihood taken away from them for a short period of time or a long period of time, depending on the injury. But there have been a lot of cases here where I've looked at release point changes, velocity drops, spin rate drops, stuff like that. And those guys have hit the injured list, and it hasn't happened right away, but ultimately they have, for one reason or another. Urias being one of the examples that I talked about earlier on in the season, where the stuff just didn't look as sharp, didn't look as explosive. The data kind of backed that up. Now you see him on the injured list. So that's something that, you know, will probably happen here as we go forward with a lot of these teams around Major League Baseball. So we'll just have to continue to read and react to the situations, read and react to the call-ups that these teams are making, and just kind of go from there with it and see where things end up. All right, so as I said, a couple of sabermetric stats for today. Let's talk about xWOBA first. That's expected weighted on base average. And you know that I like to use WOBA. I think that WOBA is a very, very effective stat, because it doesn't just consider everything the same, right? When you look at on-base percentage, a walk counts the same as a single. A walk counts the same as a double. A triple counts the same as a home run. That's not accurate. WOBA, weighted on base average, takes into account the run values of those performance, of the outcomes of, of your performance, and then weights them accordingly based on their run value. Now, expected WOBA looks at a lot of different things. It looks at WOBA, of course, the standard formula for WOBA, where it takes into account, hey, some batted balls, some outcomes are more valuable than others. But what expected WOBA does is it also incorporates exit velocity and launch angle and also sprint speed. So if you're putting the ball on the ground and you're a fast guy, but you're not really getting a whole lot of, you know, return on your investment, xWOBA may look at you and say, man, you know what? That guy's getting a little bit unlucky. He's going to start legging out some more infield hits. He's going to start getting more doubles out of those singles, stuff like that. But the biggest thing for expected WOBA, that's xWOBA, is that a lot of it has to do with how hard you hit the ball. You know, are you making quality contact on the batted balls that you have? It's definitely important to kind of look at exit velocity and launch angle and try to sort of understand why a guy is having the season he is, or why he's having the season that he isn't. Because, look, when you hit the ball hard, when you hit the ball at an optimized launch angle, good things should happen. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. So looking at xWOBA, Ronald Acuña Jr. leads the league at 480. His current WOBA, 437, according to the calculations over at Baseball Savant, which is the home of StatCast on the internet. So you look at Ronald Acuña Jr., and as great as his season has been, there's an expectation that his season could be even better based on his difference between WOBA and expected WOBA, just because he's hitting the ball as well as he is. You got like Brian Reynolds for the Pirates, almost a 50-point difference between his actual WOBA of 346 and his expected WOBA of 395. So this is one of those things where you can take a look at some of these guys individually and check out the leaderboards over at Baseball Savant and start looking at these guys from a player prop standpoint. Or if you're playing fantasy baseball, maybe look to buy low or potentially sell high on some of these guys. Christian Yelich, 332 WOBA, 378 expected WOBA. So a 46-point difference there for him. So this is something you can look at on a team level, something you can look at on an individual level. How about Josh Naylor of my Cleveland Guardians? 363 expected WOBA, Actual WOBA is just 284. So that's a guy who we've seen the three-run home run barrage from him here of late. That's just kind of some positive regression to where his expected WOBA says he should be. And there are a few guys on that Cleveland team that you know, are making better contact than what their numbers show. Now, part of this, of course, is going to start stabilizing because some of these guys just play in cold weather cities and the ball doesn't carry early on. You get a guy like Josh Bell, 313 WOBA, 348 expected WOBA. He's hit some balls hard that just haven't really carried. Kaybert Ruiz, the catcher for the Nationals, 296 WOBA, 357 expected WOBA. So you can look at these guys and you know maybe find some angles from a player prop standpoint, or as I said, from a fantasy baseball standpoint. Now, what I think is more important for us, and the reason why I talked about expected WOBA, is that there's a one-to-one, basically we'll say correlation, which isn't really the right word, but I guess we'll say translation, of expected WOBA for pitchers to expected ERA. So xERA takes into account the quality of contact that you're allowing. So if you're giving up a lot of hard hit contact, that's bad. So you look at a guy, for example, like Kyle Moeller, who's getting the start here today for Oakland, 757 expected ERA. Low strikeout rate, high walk rate. And when you look at his hard hit percentage for the season, he's given up some loud contact, a lot of it. 50.3% hard hit percentage, 11.3% barrel rate. So that's how you wind up with an expected ERA over 7. But what you can do with this, and this is the application that I think is most important here, you can look at the difference between ERA and expected ERA and look for some of these regression candidates, or at a minimum, try to figure out why it is that these guys are outperforming their metrics. So, for example, if we look at a guy here, Dean Kramer for the Orioles, right? 461 ERA, 685 expected ERA. So Dean Kramer is a guy that I would look at and expect regression from. Why? Because his hard hit percentage is 47.9% with an 11% barrel rate, and his strikeout percentage is just 18.9%. And remember, league average for this season, 22.7%. So the idea behind xERA is that in time, the loud contact that you're giving up, the quality of contact that you're giving up, will catch up with you unless you're able to, say, strike out a lot of batters. And Dean Kramer is a guy that doesn't strike out a lot of batters, but he still allows a lot of hard contact. So ERA and xERA, two really good things to take a look at when you're looking for regression candidates out of pitchers. How about Tyler McGill? 388 ERA, 515 FIP. So that's a guy right there that you immediately look at for some negative regression. A 604 expected ERA. Why? Because he's got 35 strikeouts and 46 and a third innings against 23 walks. So xERA punishes pitchers for giving up a lot of hard contact, but also punishes them for having bad strikeout to walk ratios. On the flip side, let's look at some guys with high ERAs and lower xERAs. You know, like Zach Wheeler, who's pitching today. 406 ERA, 334 expected ERA, 241 FIP. Wheeler is a guy this season, 61 strikeouts in 51 innings against 13 walks. His hard hit percentage this year, 32.9%. League average is 39.3%. So Zach Wheeler is getting remarkably unlucky based on the quality of contact he's allowed and his strikeout to walk ratio. He's only given up 2 home runs this season as well. So you can use ERA and expected ERA because I think expected ERA paints a much better picture because it takes into account the quality of contact that you're allowing. If you're limiting hard contact, your chances of having success are a hell of a lot better than if you're not limiting hard contact. And then your chances of success are not good when you're allowing a lot of hard contact. And that's what xERA is able to encapsulate. So that's a stat. Now that we're getting higher up in sample size where a lot of pitchers are making their 10th starts of the season, you know, they've gone through about a third of the year already. xERA can be somewhat predictive. I don't want to call it all the way predictive. It's also a little bit descriptive, but it can be predictive in the sense that some guys are just better than their ERAs. Why? Typically because of BABIP and left on base percentage. So you can put all of these signs together and create a pitcher profile where you're looking for positive or negative regression. And in this case, I think xERA is a really important stat to consider because it encapsulates all of it. Not only does it encapsulate the more traditional metrics, but it also encapsulates the metrics we have now because of StatCast with exit velocity, hard hit percentage, and barrel percentage. So try to look at xERA on a daily basis when you look at these starting pitchers. It used to be the difference between ERA and FIP, and a lot of times the difference between ERA and FIP will also be present if there's an xERA discrepancy. But those are two stats that I think as we go forward can be really, really beneficial, especially because you can look at them and then apply context to them. Like, for example, Chris Sale, 5.01 ERA, 3.77 expected ERA. Big strikeout to walk ratio. Why is his ERA so high? 66.9% left on base percentage. So he has negative cluster luck. He's been better without men on base than he has been with men on base. And sometimes that will regress, sometimes it won't. But you can at least look at that and say, ah, okay, that's why he has a 5 ERA. Because he's just gotten some unfortunate sequencing with his batted balls. Maybe he hasn't gotten the strikeouts at the right time. It has nothing to do with how he's pitching. He's pitching great overall. It's just bad luck. And bad luck tends to even out in the context of Major League Baseball. So looking at the difference between ERA and expected ERA, and again, I wanted to work in xWOBA as well because that's a good example for hitters of looking at guys that have been unlucky throughout the course of the season. These are all things that we can use in our arsenal to try and bet on baseball. So xERA and xWOBA, if you want any more information about those, aburke@vsin.com or at Skating Tripods on Twitter. And next week, I'll do another Monday mailbag. So if you have any questions about Major League Baseball, movies, music, beer, bourbon, cities I've been to, whatever the case may be, you can hit me up with those for the Monday mailbag at Skating Tripods on Twitter or aburke@vsin.com. Coming up after a short break, a look at the Monday, May 22nd card around Major League Baseball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here on VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Again, if you can give us a five-star review, greatly appreciate that. It helps with the visibility of the podcast, helps with the growth of the show, the growth of our VSiN podcast channel as well. Would mean a whole lot to me if you were able to do that. Again, if you missed or misunderstood anything about that xERA and xWOBA conversation, especially because I'm still a little bit under the weather here, aburke@vsin.com or at Skating Tripods, or again, you can hit me up with those Monday mailbag questions. Speaking of Zach Wheeler, he's on the mound here in the first game of the day by rotation number. That is the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. Phillies laying a big old number in this one, north of $2, well north of $2. Tommy Henry, not a guy that I like whatsoever, because Tommy Henry is a guy that pitches to a lot of contact, doesn't have a whole lot of margin for error because he doesn't miss a whole lot of bats. Zach Wheeler, again, positive regression candidate in a lot of ways. 4.06 ERA, 3.34 expected ERA, 2.41 FIP. That's a guy that, you know, if we get some good prices on him going forward, probably should be invested in as things keep going here for this 2023 MLB season. Couple of southpaws in Cincinnati, Jordan Montgomery, Brandon Williamson in this one. Brandon Williamson, a guy that down in the minor leagues, 39% of his plate appearances ended with either a strikeout or a walk. Really tough MLB profile to look at, kind of Robbie Ray or Blake Snell-esque, I would say. Of course, he goes out in Colorado in his first start and only walked two guys in 5 2/3, only gave up a solo home run. Baseball is weird like that. But Jordan Montgomery, you know, Montgomery's struggling a little bit here. Over his last couple of starts, he's allowed 4 homers in his last 2 starts, 5 in his last 3, 8 barrels allowed in his last 3 starts against the Tigers, the Cubs, and the Brewers. So he's not locating super well at this point in time. Williamson is a giant wild card. No idea what happens in this game. I thought about the over 10, but the Reds aren't a very good offense, and Montgomery is a guy that, you know, this is probably an exception, not the norm for him. So we'll see what happens in this game, but this total sitting at 10, pretty much across the market here. One other game in the National League to hit on quickly, the Marlins and the Rockies, because I have a play, actually, in the Dodgers and Braves game. But the Marlins and the Rockies here, Edward Cabrera and Chase Anderson in this one. Edward Cabrera, another very tough handicap. 46.4% of opposing hitters this season have either struck out or walked. So it's really hard to kind of figure out what you want to make of that profile when he has allowed a ball in play, 53.6% ground ball percentage. So he's been a little bit unlucky, I think, to have a 5.13 ERA, 4.80 FIP in his starts here this season. 4.52 expected ERA does indicate that, as I said, I think he's gotten a little bit unlucky for this season here, but man, I don't know what you do with a guy like that at Coors Field. On the flip side, I don't like Chase Anderson that much either. He pitches for the Rockies here today. At least I think he's supposed to. I've seen him listed at all the sources I use, but then he wasn't listed at some of the sports books this morning. But in any event, Chase Anderson is a guy that just, I don't really see much to like. You know, I mean, how he got through 5 innings and 59 pitches at Coors Field last time out against the Reds was kind of remarkable. I don't really know what to do with Chase Anderson or Edward Cabrera in this matchup, but definitely an interesting one to say the least. Jimmy Lambert will be the opener for the White Sox today. Looks like Jesse Schultens will probably be the bulk reliever for them. They're going to have to call up some length here because they've got some injuries. Cleveland also in a tough spot today with Hunter Gaddis making the start. Of course, after Gavin Williams was dominant yesterday in AAA yet again, they're going to go with Gaddis in this start instead. On the surface, Cleveland probably doesn't deserve to be favored over much of anybody right now. They still can't hit. The bullpen is a disaster area. Hunter Gaddis is not a major league caliber pitcher, but Lambert and potentially Schultens, I have no idea what the hell I'm going to get from those two guys. Easy pass in that game. Total juice to the under 9, where you got some wind blowing in from right field. A couple of gas cans kind of to start this game. So I don't know. I think everything is tough about that White Sox and Guardians game. The Blue Jays and the Rays. How about Chris Bassitt? Chris Bassitt, 27-inning scoreless streak for the Blue Jays coming into this one. He's not allowed a run in the month of May in his 3 starts over 23 innings of work. How about this? 28.4% hard hit percentage for Bassitt on the year. 23.3% if we take away his first start against the Cardinals, where he gave up 9 runs on 10 hits and 3 1/3 innings. Gave up 4 homers in that start, has only allowed 2 since then. Now, he is taking on the best lineup in baseball against right-handed pitching here in the Tampa Bay Rays. So we'll see if Bassitt able to keep it rolling here. I'll say this. Bassitt definitely looks a little bit more promising than what the Rays will be throwing out there with Trevor Kelly and Josh Fleming. But the Blue Jays, they're only 16th in WOBA against lefties on the season. Fleming is a lefty, will serve as the bulk reliever here today. Big ground ball guy, 61.5% ground ball rate. But the one thing I wanted to mention about this game and about this Rays team in general, you know, I've talked about kind of wanting to shy away from full games with them because their bullpen had a lot of negative regression signs Over the last 14 days, Tampa Bay bullpen, 6.31 ERA, that's 28th, 6.27 FIP, that's 30th. Their bullpen regression has absolutely taken place here. They're still kind of winning games in spite of it at times, but Tampa Bay's bullpen has had that reckoning that I was looking for. So we'll see if that becomes a factor here in this game. Red Sox and Angels, Tanner Houck and Jaime Barria going in this one here. A lot of red today. You got the Reds and the Cardinals. You got the Red Sox and the Angels. A lot of red in those two matchups for sure. I thought about taking the Red Sox here in this game. And in fact, as I started my handicap, I kind of expected to be on the Red Sox in this game. But Jaime Barria, maybe the trip to the bullpen has kind of helped him figure some things out here. So far, a 24.2% hard hit percentage against, just a 3.2% barrel percentage. Now, with that said, 196 ERA, 351 FIP in his 10 relief appearances. This is a guy that, you know, long-term, I'm not a big believer in. I don't really love the profile. And also, when you go from relieving to starting, you have to work deeper into your arsenal. You have to throw your third and fourth best pitches a little bit more often. And that's where a lot of guys get into trouble. You know, most guys that get to the big leagues have a good fastball or have good fastball command or a good slider or a good curveball, something like that. And a lot of guys could thrive in a relief capacity. But when you have to start using your third and fourth pitches because you're turning the lineup over two or three times, that's when it gets dicey. So I'm always going to be wary of relievers going back into starting roles. And that's the thing for Barria here in this start for the Angels. Now, Tanner Houck, 5.48 ERA, 4.09 FIP, a guy with a 3.99 expected ERA. So Tanner Houck is a positive regression candidate, which is part of the reason why I thought about taking Boston here in this game. A 59.2% left on base percentage for Houck on the season here. So that's a guy that is on my radar and probably should be playing him away from Fenway Park just to be safe. May regret not taking Boston in this one, but the Angels are still a top 10 offense and weighted on base average against righties. And Boston, as I've talked about here recently, their numbers at home are phenomenal. Their numbers on the road, not as great. They are 10th in WOBA on the road against righties at 318. Overall, they have a 341 weighted on base average against righties. So that tells you just how good they've been at home in that split. So Boston is a team that, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit wary of on the road. I think that maybe they were the play here today, but ultimately wound up staying off of that game. A couple of other games that I got pretty close to having some interest in. So Texas and Pittsburgh, Dane Dunning and Luis Ortiz here in this one. Dane Dunning is another clear regression candidate. 169 ERA, 286 FIP, and 37 and a third. Only 23 strikeouts. His 234 BABIP comes with a league average hard hit percentage and a ground ball rate over 50%. So his batting average on balls in play is absolutely going to go up. 169 ERA with a 391 expected ERA. So he's getting punished for not striking out guys. And also he's given up some hard contact. So Dane Dunning is a fade guy for me as we go forward here, but I couldn't buy in with the Pirates, nor could I buy in with Luis Ortiz. So I mostly just wanted to mention this game to talk about Dunning and talk about the fact that I will be looking to go against him as we go forward here until we get some kind of correction in his numbers. Giants and Twins, another interleague matchup here. John Brebbia will be the opener for the Giants to be followed by either Tristan Beck or Sean Manaea. The thing about Manaea is he's left-handed, and the Twins are a bottom 10, bottom 5 offense against lefties here on the season. I really thought about laying the Bailey Ober price, though, because Bailey Ober, 178 ERA, 3 FIP, and 30 and a third innings, struck out 28 and walked 7. This guy's good, and not only is he good, he's 6'9". So all these teams that are seeing him for the first time, that's a very different arm slot that you never see. It's hard to pick up the baseball. He works up in the zone with the fastball. He's basically releasing the pitch closer than anybody in the league. So even though he doesn't throw that hard, that ball really gets up on you quickly. And it can be an adjustment if you've never seen a guy like that. So Ober is a guy that I think you want to look to play on against teams that don't really see him. And maybe if you want to fade him and look for a correction in his numbers, maybe as he's making a second start against a team this season, or maybe a third start once we get deeper into the year. The Giants have never really seen him, so I thought about laying the price, but minus 150 is a little bit steep here. And I do think that because Ober was so good against the Twins last week, or against the Dodgers last week, excuse me, I think we lost a little bit of that market value on him. So he's a guy that I just don't know if we're going to have a whole lot of betting value on here at this point in time. Next game on the board here is another interleague matchup between the Astros and the Brewers. Christian Javier, Corbin Burns in this one. And again, the big sticking point for Houston here and why I took the Athletics, and we almost got there with that big plus 245 price over the weekend. Houston's offense just isn't great. You know, I mean, they're not really hitting all that well. They're 22nd in weighted on base average against righties, a 362 slugging that ranks 25th. They're just not hitting this season for a variety of different reasons. Now, Altuve being back should help, but he wasn't very good in his minor league rehab assignment either. So it'll take some time for him to get going. But you do wonder about, you know, the Astros and the Guardians and some of these teams that regularly lose really smart minds. Maybe this is a spot where it's just kind of attrition in the front office and some of these teams are just going to kind of level off a little bit. I still think it's Houston's division to lose, but they're certainly not the same team that we've seen here in previous seasons. Christian Javier is pretty close to being the same pitcher, though. He's got 59 strikeouts and 52 and two-thirds, 12 walks, 325 ERA, 352 FIP. He's actually cut down on his walk rate this season, which I really like. The Brewers are better against righties and lefties. They're a league average offense against righties. They're well below that against lefties. Christian Javier is a tough one, though. And I thought I would like the Astros going into this game, but, you know, Corbin Burns hasn't been as sharp as we're used to seeing, but he's been pretty good outside of his first two starts of the year. He's only given up 10 earned runs in his last seven starts, 213 ERA, 339 FIP over his last seven outings. So maybe the under more of the play here in this game, but that was one where I thought I would have a play on it and then wound up not, just because Burns has been better than I've given him credit for. And I do think that on some level, we do take some of these ace dudes for granted. And that may be the case here with a guy like Corbin Burns. All right, let's get to the two plays that I do have here today for the card. As always, shop around for the best price. You will, I don't want to say generally, but you can find better numbers than what DraftKings posts because they have the 20-cent lines, 25-cent lines at minus 150, 30-cent lines higher than that, stuff like that. Not all books do that. So again, shop around for the best prices that are out there. So we take a look at the Dodgers and the Braves here. Gavin Stone and Charlie Morton in this one. And look, Gavin Stone's debut wasn't great, right? Back on May 3rd, 5 runs allowed, 4 earned on 8 hits and 4 innings. Only struck out one of the 23 batters that he faced. And now he draws the Braves. Well, look, this is a guy that as you look through his minor league career, he's missed a lot of bats. It could have just been jitters. It could have just been, you know, something else. I mean, look, making your major league debut is a big deal. This isn't his major league debut. And he faces a Braves lineup that, as great as they are against lefties, and they have a WOBA over 400 against lefties, they are 15th in WOBA against righties, have a 98 WRC plus, meaning they are 2% below league average in that split. And they get a righty here today in Stone, who has thrown the ball relatively well at AAA. If nothing else, I think he should be better here in this outing. And for Charlie Morton, starting to see some signs where maybe he's getting a little bit fortunate here. Morton, 285 ERA, 359 FIP, 403 XFIP, one of those guys that kind of fits the mold of what I talked about earlier with a 440 expected ERA. So his XERA, 1.35 runs higher than what his season ERA is. So this is a guy in line for some negative regression here because Morton will walk some guys, which is a big deal against a Dodgers lineup that's second in baseball in walk percentage against righties. And also, the biggest thing for Morton is cluster luck. 368 WOBA allowed with the bases empty, 239 with men on base, 184 with men in scoring position. BABIP by situation, 368 with the bases empty, 277 with men on base, 176 with men in scoring position, 81.4% left on base percentage. Those things are going to regress to the mean for Charlie Morton. And when they do, he'll give up some more runs. And I think against a Dodgers lineup that's been really good against righties this season, a Dodgers lineup that draws walks, I like that situation for them. Also for the Braves here, Raisel Iglesias and Nick Anderson have pitched three of the last 5 days. Would go back to back today. Colin McHugh's been used two of the last 3 days. It was a Johnny Holstaff day on Saturday for the Braves. So I think the Dodgers bullpen is in better shape here. I think Stone, with the big swinging strike percentages in the minor leagues, has a chance against this Braves offense that will swing and miss, has the lowest zone contact percentage in baseball. I think this is a decent shot to take on the underdog here. So Dodgers plus 130 for the article, but you can find a little bit better than that out there in the marketplace. You can find plus 135 or higher at some shops out there on the betting board. The other play I've got for today as we head to the American League Central is the Detroit Tigers. They take on the Kansas City Royals, Michael Lorenzen and Brady Singer in this one. How about Lorenzen? 3.44 ERA, 3.79 FIP and 34 innings of work. Two runs on 14 hits in his last three starts. And his three main pitches have been really good this year. Four-seam fastball, changeup, slider, allowing batting averages in order of 156, 152, and 207. Slugging percentages against 156, 364, 260, or 276, excuse me. So Lorenzen, no barrels in his last two starts. His top start from a swinging strike standpoint in his last outing. His three pitches, he's been really effective commanding. He's low-key pitched really well for this Detroit team. He was not pitched well. Brady Singer. Brady Singer still allowing missiles all over the ballpark. Yeah, he's given up three runs on 12 hits in his last 12 innings. However, 59.2% hard hit percentage for the season, 24 hard hit balls in his last two starts, 17 barrels on the year, 11.6% barrel percentage, six straight starts with a swinging strike percentage in single digits. The velocity's down a little bit. I looked at his release points today. They are all over the place, both horizontal and vertical. The Royals are trying to figure out whatever they possibly can to see what they can do with this guy. And they can't seem to figure it out. And I can't figure out why he's a favorite in this game. Maybe it's his name value. Maybe it's just exclusively that. But also this Royals team, while they had a nice little run offensively, over the last 14 days, they're 29th in WOBA and 30th in WRC+. So they have fallen off in a big way yet again. Tigers still playing well. Tigers have played great outside of the American League East. Give me Lorenzen and the Motor City Kitties here, minus 105 against Brady Singer and the Royals. Make sure you tune in again tomorrow for another edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. If you get a chance, rate, review, subscribe, would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening again, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow with another edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.